Amen. Isn't the Lord good to us? You may be seated. We're so blessed to be with you tonight in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Brother Wesley. Amen. Praise God. And we love you, saints of God, that are here tonight. And I love the way God works. There's just something about the power and the love of God that makes a difference in our lives. And it sure feels good to feel loved. And I have an advantage in my life. Anybody the Lord's done something great for tonight and you just can't hold it. You want to share it tonight. Anybody something you want to testify of God's power? Amen. Something he's done for you. I thought Gloriana was supposed to testify. Sister Becky. Anybody else? You want to just, you just got to praise him. It's something you just. Amen. Anybody else? Go ahead. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. He is. Right. Amen. Thank God is the leading hand in our life. All right, Sister Gloriana and Sister Katie, would you help me pass these out tonight? Amen. We've let these old boys pass them out tonight. We're going to let these pretty young ladies. Praise God. We're so thankful the way God works. Thank God for the weekend that we had. Tremendous services, both services as well. Sunday night, we rejoiced. Brother Skiles was with us. The message that we heard Sunday night about going the second mile. I want to be a second mile person. Amen. And what a joy to be able to tell you that. Today and yesterday has been tremendous, the way God has answered different things. When you go intentionally to reach out to people, to love people, it's amazing what God does. And from people all day yesterday, today, the way God has just proven himself, it's been amazing. Sister Crosswhite called me yesterday. I needed to go by the place of business that she manages and walked inside, and she needed me to fill something out, so I stopped, and I went in the office and was right there filling something out. And I got up, and I thought she went this direction, and I seen some movement through this door. And so I went through that door, and I could hear some people talking and stuff. But when I got through the door, there was a gentleman standing to my right. He's just standing there, and I greeted him. He kind of surprised me. He was quiet. He was standing. He was tall. And I didn't catch his name at first, but we got to talking, and I introduced myself. And he said, he gave me his name. He said, my name is Ben Bland. And Ben began to tell me that he spoke Sunday night in a church in Lufkin. And Ben tells me he travels, he is a decorator, he does decorations, florist work, all this kind of stuff. And so I said, oh, that's great, you know. And I asked where he spoke at, and he mentioned the place. And he said, Pastor, he said, I got to give you my testimony to let you know why I do what I do. He said, I'm not a preacher. He said, by trade, I'm a florist. By trade, I'm a decorator. And he said, just a few years ago, he said, I was queer as a $2 bill. That's his words, so I get to use it. And he said, but the power of the Holy Ghost changed my life. And he got to tell me. And the Lord began to, both of us, right there, we began to talk about God. This man decorates for President Donald Trump. He decorates for people. He's supposed to do an event to decorate for CC Whining, all this different stuff. But most of all, to let us know that just a few years ago, he was wearing a dress and high heels. And he gives his testimony. And it was amazing to hear that. But this young man was raised in a church, an apostolic church, as a kid. And he grew up. Some things happened to him, unfortunate situations. 18 years old, he made wrong choices to do what he did. And he was tied to the web of sin and satanic stuff and homosexuality. But his mother never quit praying. His mother was in the shop yesterday, and his sister. And I asked, I said, what did you do while he went astray? She said, we were so heartbroken. We cried. We were ashamed, embarrassed. But she said, we always prayed and believed the Lord. But when he finally came to a church, he went and sat in the back of the church, and the pastor's wife came and sat next to him. In a little bit, she said, can we go get coffee? And he said, you know, he said, it was no big deal. He said, nobody felt threatened because the way I was. So it was through this lady, this sister, her continuous effort of just reaching to this guy who was messed up, that finally the Holy Ghost got a hold of him. He was on drugs, depressed, I mean, everything you could think of. And he told me Sunday night, as he was preaching or testifying in Lufkin, he said, on the way to church at Cornerstone there in Lufkin, he just so happened there was a guy walking down the road with a dress on. He pulled over, said, get in. You come with me to church. And that night, he said, when I got to church, they immediately scrambled. They got him some clothes and put some clothes on him. But the end of that service, they baptized this young man in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, God can still save and deliver. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. And I got to realize, and he said, since then, God has opened doors. I speak all over the country. He said, Brother Crosswhite, I am booked all over the place. He said, I'm not bragging, but he said, I'm bragging on God. He said, I was just a florist. And he said, I was just in a bad lifestyle. But he said, when the Lord changed me, he said, now, he said, I'm invited to all kind of events to be there. And he said, President Trump looked at him and said, people need to hear what your God's done for you. Are you thankful that God is still touching like hopeless situations, lives that are, we say, written off? I'm thankful for the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so I asked him, I said, what do I need to tell people? He said, Brother Crosswhite, he said, you need to tell every church you go to, tell them this. They need to invest in their young people, because if you don't, they're going to die with the old people. And there won't be a church. And so tonight, it's important that we teach these right here and we reach to these and help these. Amen. Thank God for somebody in my life that prayed and taught me some things of righteousness. Are you thankful? Did you have somebody in your life? Amen. How many had somebody praying for you, somebody as an example? Amen. Would you lift both hands and thank God for them right now? Lord, I thank you for these in my life. God, they were there to teach me, to help me, to guide me. Thank you for that one that cared for my soul, guarded my soul, loved my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for those, Lord Jesus. In your name, Lord, and we give you praise. Amen. And I felt the Lord all day today, and I feel him tonight in just a special way. Amen. And I could just go get in the corner here at the church and just go, wow, and just feel the presence of the Lord. It's so peaceful tonight. I want to go to the book of Exodus. Don't stand. Just turn to your Bible. Exodus, the 19th chapter in verse 5 is where we want to go to tonight. And I want to say I do appreciate my wife. I thank God for her very much. 36 years of her, amen, being my soulmate. Amen. I praise God for that. Amen. That she loves and takes care of me. Amen. And I'm grateful for her. And I'm grateful for what God's doing in our lives. Amen. So Exodus, the 19th chapter in verse 5. And before we read tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Brian Pirtle to get a passage of scripture for me. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, we'll read verse 1 through 18 in a little bit. But Exodus 19 says this. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. How many wants to be God's favorite? Amen. How many wants the favor of God? I want that advantage to stay in my life. Amen. And we're going to talk about something tonight. He says you're going to have this favor if you keep his commandments. We're going to talk to you on the subject of obey God and leave all the consequences to him. Obey God and leave all the consequences to him. And I've given you some notes here, but I want you to think about life's questions. All the questions of life. First of all, the scripture says God is the creator of all that exists. And all things were made through him, and without him there was nothing made that was made. That's the John, the 1st chapter in the New Testament. So as the creator and order of this universe, God has the right and power to conform all circumstances to his will. Think with me. He is also entitled to expect a certain standard of behavior from those who really believe in him. Hear me. In other words, as your note says, he has the right to set the standard for our lives. And you know, living for God is not hard. We make it hard when we buck against him. You watch those that are rebellious, the way of the rebel, the way of the one that begins to push against the things of God. They have consequences that they're not able to handle. They begin to melt down, break down, all these different things. And of course, God's standard is higher than the culture in which we all live. And obeying his commands will set you apart from the crowd. Are you thankful that you could be set apart? And being set apart is not by the way that we look or dress on the outside. Hear me. It should be by our heart on the inside. Because there are people that I know that look Pentecostal. And they look on the outside that they, you know, they have a certain dress style. But they have the same problems. They have the same countenance drop. I mean, their lips are kind of like a bulldozer. I mean, they push ground in front of them. They have no joy in their life. They have no joy and peace. And I'm thankful that God does set us apart. Are you thankful for the peace that the Lord gives? And in certain circumstances, you know, when you begin to obey God, it will make you a target for scorn from a world that denies his authority. People start saying, look at that person. And people that deny God's authority will look and try to nitpick your life and your lifestyle. And as you strive to meet God's standard, you might be accused of being intolerant, narrow-minded, singled out on social media and social settings. People's going to single you out. And the consequences can be severe, which is why God instructs you to leave the consequences to him. Are you thankful that God has a better record of getting things done? And he could bring ultimate good from even the most dire circumstances you go through. But the problem is, we got to give the battle to God. You know, David, what did David say about the battle when Goliath came against him? He said, the battle's not whose. He said, it's not mine. He gave the battle to the Lord. And he told Goliath, you're coming to me with sword and shield and all this. And remember, Goliath was a big dude. He was a mercenary. And he even had a shield bearer. So it was two against one. Two against one. And those two wasn't against David. They was against David's God. Whoa. And are you thankful tonight that God, when you give him the battle, God has a way of getting things done. I want you to consider some questions tonight about obeying. And how do you relate to God's commands and the challenges and temptations that confront you? We all have temptations. We all have challenges. But how do you relate to the word of the Lord, the things that God commands you to do? And let me ask, does his command seem too difficult or costly for you to obey? Is it too costly sometimes or difficult? Are you facing a decision that seems quite overwhelming because you have to obey the word of the Lord? Are you torn about whether to follow God's instructions or not? Let me give you something. God always, if his word says it, you shouldn't have to pray about doing it. If God is clear about something, it should be something that you have to say, well, I need to seek God. No, if he says it, he means it. Amen. You can't separate God from his word. And if you're torn about what to do, just do it and leave the consequences to God. So the principle, the life principle will help you. Just obey and leave it all to God. You know, Charles Stanley made a statement. He said, great faith does not blossom overnight. It's the result of years of trusting and obeying the Lord. I got to learn to obey God. It's a journey, but it's a great journey. And sometimes you've got to stare down some challenges. You could start staring down some things that come against you, some Goliaths, some giants, some kings that wants to make you bow, some people that wants to look at you and think you something wrong with you. You know, obedience can be a challenge, especially when you're tempted to believe you stand to lose more through your obedience than you might gain. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes obedience can be a challenge when you're tempted to believe that you stand to lose more through obedience than you might gain. You remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, what must I do? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, go sell everything you got and give it to the poor. Obviously, this man didn't like to give. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. Three things that everybody cherishes today. You grow old, you can't reverse the situation. He was young. He was rich. Everybody wants to be rich. And he was a ruler. Everybody likes authority. But he lacked something on the inside. So he comes to Jesus, and Jesus said, go sell everything you got. Come back and follow me. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. You know what it tells me? His possessions possessed him. He was not willing to obey. It cost him too much, he felt, to obey. And I want you to think. So when God commands you to obey, I want you to realize it's with your best interests in his mind. It's with your best interests in mind that he begins to command us to obey. However, obeying God is essential. What does essential mean? It's I have to. You got to obey God in order to please God. You can't scoot around it. And God knows the outcome of every possible choice you make. And he steers your path to the greatest of the good that is for your life. In the process, God gives you key principles to live by. He sets a framework around your life. He'll put a hedge around you to protect you from evil like he did in Job. Read Job chapter 1, verse 10. It shows it there. And obeying God is essential, folks. Can you remember the last time you were tempted to do the opposite of what you knew God desired you to do? How many of you ever had that moment? Yeah, be honest. I have them. And where I am tempted to do the opposite of what God ordained for me to do. Most likely, a struggle erupted in your heart. How many of you ever had a struggle? You thought, should I? Should I not? Yes, no. Yes, no. And the question arose, will obeying God cost me more than disobeying him? And then you ask yourself the question, can I experience greater happiness by committing this sin than I would by obeying God? Would I have more happiness by committing this sin than I would by obeying God? Then you ask, what happens if I disobey? If you choose to obey God in that situation, hear this. You took the way of wisdom and undoubtedly realized that in the end, the blessings of obedience outweigh any possible consequences. Are you thankful that it's better to obey, the scripture says? Better to obey. And God asks us to submit our lives to him and leave whatever happens in his loving care. Mm-hmm. As you grow in your walk with God, obedience becomes the avenue by which you begin to know God better. I'm glad today that we have an opportunity to know him in a greater manner. Amen. He's just not a distant, long-distant king out there, just one way up in heaven that is untouchable, but a God that we could walk with. And you could experience, and you could experience things that will help you and teach you. And that obeying him will produce a great advantage and a positive result. And your bond of trust in him becomes stronger and you start growing because you can always depend on God when you do what's right. In turn, he pulls you closer to himself and teaches you more about his precepts and his love. Do you know that the word obey in the Old Testament, you know what it primarily means? It means to listen. Now, that word listen is more than just hear. I'm telling you, he's here somewhere. I seen him walk in. I have an 18-year-old. He hears me, but the word listen and hear doesn't mean that I just got an audible reception. It means more than he registered some noise. But that word also means to heed, to agree, to consent, to understand, to yield, and to put into action. God wants you to listen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Or oh me. God wants you to listen for his voice and trust what he's telling you. So obeying God is absolutely essential to pleasing God. I want to just remember, how many times, Katie Pirtle, that mama told you, don't touch this. Growing up. I mean, now you become a young lady. You're growing up now. I mean, you have to be 19 years old now or something. I can't remember. How many times in life mama says, Katie, don't touch this. And just as soon as mama, something inside of you said, touch it. You ever had that happen? Guess what we all do? It's kind of like the sign that says, wet paint, do not touch. If they never put the sign up, you'll never have fingerprints there. Why? Because it's the nature of man to do opposite of what he's supposed to do. But when you have the ability to say no to something, how wonderful it is to say no and to yield to God and learn to say yes to the Lord. And it's better to obey. Everybody say it's better. It's better to obey. Coley, it's better to obey. Brother Brent, it's better to obey. Brother Martin, is still better to obey. And Brother Martin, even though you're about 45, I mean, somewhere's up in that neighborhood, it's still better to obey. And we're so thankful that we could learn tonight. Let's, another thing, in your notes, I've got the part that says to trust or to not trust. Either we trust God or we don't trust God. Disobedience says to the Lord that you know better than he does. When you disobey, you know what you're saying? I know better than the Lord. And when it comes to your life and the circumstances around you, when you disobey, you're opening yourself up to things. Nothing could be further than the truth whenever you begin to hear that word, it's okay. It's all right. And you know it's not. God loves you and God's committed to your life. He commands your obedience, not because God's a strict taskmaster, but because he knows the devastating effect that disobedience and sin will have in your life. And he knows that it's not good to walk in your socks when there's grass burrs outside. Why? Any of you ladies know why on the front row over here? Why is it not good to have socks and go walk barefoot or in your socks in the grass burrs? All right, come on, Abigail. You're first one right here. Why? And guess what? When mama tell you, you know, you need to put some shoes on because there's grass burrs outside and you don't want to get your socks full. Anybody else had grass burrs in a sock before? And mama told you, guess what now? You got a socks and how many's ever had to pick grass burrs out of a sock? You know what I mean? It's aggravating. It's a double stick policy. You know? It's kind of like this, Abigail. Now you have the chore of getting your fingers stuck again and again and again, trying to get, and I'm telling you, it's not an easy. It's easier just to walk in them and get them stuck to you than to get them unstuck. And that's just the way disobedience becomes. You can't unpickle a pickle. And disobedience has a sticky, icky way about it. It injures you. It sticks you and stays with you. But are you thankful that Jesus Christ, even when you learn to say no and just comply, he gives you power to overcome? Amen. Are you thankful for the victory we have in Jesus? Do you know you were created to fellowship with God? And disobedience disrupts that fellowship, gets in between you and your relationship with God. And it puts obstacles in a way of your relationship with the Lord. It creates a spiritual distance between you and God and makes you vulnerable to temptation and the consequences. And that vulnerability, believe me, doesn't go unnoticed by Satan. Satan knows when you have opened the door wide to him to come to you and mess with you. He encourages disobedience by telling you, well, you know, you can't trust the Lord. His promises are not true. And you know, you enjoy your life more if you just ignore his commandments. Just do it. Oh, you know, it won't. Don't worry about the consequences. You know, Satan will skew your perspective by causing you to doubt the most secure and trustworthy thing in the world, the Word of God. So the key to resisting Satan's temptation is to remember that disobedience always produces consequences. And with those consequences, kind of like grass burrs, Abigail, the consequences is the feelings of guilt, shame, worthlessness, brokenness, destroyed marriages. It just keeps on going. Bitter disputes, on and on it comes, all because somebody cashed in and disobeyed. Let me say, while sin can never change God's eternal, are you thankful that God's love still stands? Man, I've made a mistake. I've had to pluck grass burrs out. I've had to take care of sins. I had to take care of things in my life. I had to go to somebody and say, listen, I was wrong. That's a hard thing, huh? When Mr. Wright has to admit he's been wrong. or miss right. It's pretty tough. But the consequences are tough to deal with. So in the time of disobedience, you become spiritually weak, unable to discern what's right from wrong. Whenever you start going the wrong direction, after a while, you don't have that guidance system. You can't tell what's right and what's wrong. Things all look the same. I mean, we start thinking, well, I'm doing it because it feels good. But how many's known the feel good of sin doesn't last long? It's kind of like when somebody does drugs. And I want to talk to you about, you think, well, our kids will never do drugs. Never. Man, don't ever think they won't ever. Man, the prodigal son, I imagine his father never thought his boy would go. But let me tell you, they tell you that first high is going to be the best high you ever got. And you'll never match it. They'll spend a lifetime seeking for that second high. They call it chasing the dragon, right? And you chase the dragon, and you chase the dragon, you'll never find it. You'll never find it again. That's the reason why you go to Baltimore today, and you'll see people in that part of Baltimore that are so messed up, they're just hung over like this all the time on the side of the street. There's needles all over the road. When you walk there, you don't walk barefooted because there's used drug needles. These people have AIDS. Their skin is full of sores. Corruption. They die of infection there. They die of all kind of problems through disease because of poor immunity and messed up lives. Because they're chasing the high they can never get again. So the feel good of sin only lasts just a little bit. But I'm so thankful that the feel good of doing what's right is something that will sustain you. Something that blesses God. See, it's a twofold thing when you do what's right. God's blessed. And it pleases God, and it pleases you. So you sink, when you disobey, you sink deep into sin's grasp. And sin has a way of beginning to cause you to be rocked to that place of, I don't care any longer. I messed up. I want to just tell you, if you get to the place where you mess up, hear me, can you look at me tonight? I want everybody to look at me. If you get to the place where you make a mistake, and the first thing the devil says, oh, well, you made a mistake. It is right there when you hear that, oh, well, you make a mistake, you might as well do another one. You do it again. Or go a little deeper. Fudge it a little bit more. You've already messed up one time. Right there, you need to catch yourself. Right there. You need to catch yourself. If it is when you're looking at something on the phone that you're not supposed to look at, and all of a sudden you looked at it and you go, well, I've already looked at it now. I've already messed my mind up. I may as well do it again. It's that second time when the Lord gives you a check. If you go past that check of that second time, that the enemy really tackles you down. Mm-hmm. The Bible says this, in every temptation. Everybody say every. All the men say every. All the ladies say every. Every temptation, in every temptation, God makes a way of what? Of escape. You know what our deal is? God wants us to look for the escape route. In this room are two escape routes that is obvious in this room. If there was a fire, there's two escape routes that are real close that your face is pointing towards. Where they're at? How do you know about it if you was a new person here? You seen those signs over there? I'm thankful that God will give us a way of escape. There's an exit that God, the architect of your life, always makes when we are tempted. Everybody say every temptation. So every temptation has a way of escape. Guess what? You got to be smart enough to look for the way of escape. Somebody say amen. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? No, it's just practical. Satan often begins his temptation by questioning God's commands, and he suggests, that's not necessary. Obeying God's not necessary. But you do great harm to yourself when you believe that you'll find a greater blessing in doing your own thing than other than doing what God wants. Obedience always results in God's blessing. Disobedience always has consequences. Grass burrs always has a stick to it. Remember. Now, I want to give you some things that would help build your confidence. You know, when God called out to Moses from a burning bush, the Lord said, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. It's in Exodus. Moses was very concerned because Moses felt like he couldn't do the task. I'm not up to the task. I can't go to Pharaoh. I'm just a man. So who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And God had to build Moses' confidence by giving him the words to say. And he said, Moses, you go and tell them that I am sent you. And the Bible says this. He does the same in your life. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing who is invisible. Are you thankful that we got a God that may not be visible to you, but a God that is standing with us? So when we are afraid and we have to face something, and it's more easier for us at the moment and convenient for us to lie. Somebody said, did you do this? And it's easy to lie. No. I want to tell you, it's always in order to say the truth and do what's right. Somebody say amen. The Bible provides you with many principles that will help you with all your heart and give you confidence that you can always trust God. Paul writes in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who, what? Love God. And when you trust God with your life, you can be certain that when circumstances seem dire, God's leading you and directing you. He's going to work things out. God's always leading you and helping you. You just got to follow him. The Bible also tells you those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Isaiah. And when in doubt, you could choose to wait on God for an answer. When you do it, you could be confident that God's going to lead you through. Next thing, meditate on God's word. Always build your confidence in God. Joshua, he noted a very important thing when he said to the children of Israel, meditate on God's word, in other words, day and night. He said, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, thou shalt meditate. What does meditate mean, other Abigail? Meditate. Abigail Weaver, meditate. Come on, meditate. Focus, think about it. There you go, you did good. Meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So you got to think about it. If you have enough struggle with it, think about it. Think about the word of the Lord that when temptation comes that you could do what's right, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and then thou shalt have, everybody say good success. That's the only time in the Bible the word success is mentioned, Joshua 1:8. But it comes with us meditating on the word of God. We're just to close in just a moment. Even in times of trial and challenges, God builds our confidence. I want to say this tonight. God will rarely empty your life of troubles and conflict. You're going to have troubles and conflict. I want to tell you why. If God emptied your life of troubles and conflicts, you would have no reason to depend on him. He allows enough difficulty to keep you turned towards him. I want you to think with me. Every time that somebody gets blessed and they don't have to pray, they don't have to live for God, they get confident in themselves. They get all relaxed and they get all in the comfort zone and they quit leaning on God. They start thinking, I got this. Brother Pirtle, Proverbs the 3rd chapter, verses 1-18. It'll add to you when you keep it. Go ahead. Put it in you.
So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God
By doing that, you're going to find favor in the sight of God and who else? Wow, by obeying the word of the Lord and putting the word of God in your life. Go ahead, verse 6.
Trust in the Lord with all thy heart.
Mm-hmm.
And lean not unto thy own.
Right. Go ahead. When you acknowledge God, God's going to be your GPS. He's going to direct your path. Go ahead. Right. Okay, stop right here. Medical people in the medical field, something about the marrow inside of your bones, health. Most of the diseases in our body starts on the inside of our bones. Inside the marrow of a human being, it tells a whole lot about the health and condition of a person from the time they were born to the time that they die. Marrow is a telltale about your health, and it's the footprint, basically, of a person's past and their lifestyle. A person full of stress, the marrow in your body begins to tell that this person lived a stressful life. Why am I saying that? Because the Bible says, you keep the word of God, it'll be health to thy navel and marrow to your bones. God will give substantial blessing through your system. Verse 9. What does that mean? Anybody? Help me out. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And with the first fruit of all that increase. Yeah, pay your tithes, pay your tithes. Read on. As a result, God will bless. Go ahead.
My son, despise not the chastity.
Oh, don't get to that place that you despise when God corrects you. Go ahead. Thank God for correction. There's direction in that. Go ahead. Yes. He's talking about wisdom, the wisdom of complying and obeying God produces everything you need in life, everything that you ever want in life by simply obeying. I want you to consider the challenges you may be facing as a result of obedience. One strategy for successful dealing with the challenges that you have when something challenges you to obey God or disobey God, I want you to think about the reward of obeying God. The reward should be looked at as a badge of honor for your faithfulness. I want God to give me that badge of honor. How about you? And remember, if you're being targeted for standing with God, there's no better place to be in the world than to be targeted by the enemy because you're standing for God. Because when you stand for God, God stands with you. Man, where did God go? What did they see in the furnace? They seen the fourth man in the furnace. Yes, all because they stood for God. So if you find that you're struggling with obedience in a certain area, ask yourself what God is trying to lead you to do and what's standing in your way. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, weigh the pros and cons of obedience. Ask God to help you recognize the potential that lies in following his will. God, open my understanding. Ask him to expose the consequences that he's made in the Bible to help you grow in confidence. God, let me see the good consequences. Everybody say good consequences. Let me see the good consequences of obeying my mama and putting my shoes on, Abigail. When mama said, don't go out there in your socks, there's grass burrs. And you went out there, you didn't have to worry about all the consequences. Thank the Lord for the good consequences. Amen. That help you grow confidence in a loving mother, but in this case, a loving Savior. I want you to remember this tonight. God wants you to trust Him. And at times, you'll need to wait on the Lord. There's some times you'll have to learn to say no. And there's some God will say no. But you know, when God says no, you know what it means? There's a greater yes. Thank God for the no's. And one of the greatest vitamins that you will ever learn to take, one of the greatest vitamins for your life is not vitamin A, not B, not C or D, not E or F, is vitamin N. Vitamin N means that you've learned how to say no. No to temptation, no to disobedience, and no to sin. And I'm thankful that I have a great God that's always there willing to help me when I say no. God says, wow. Amen. I want to wow God. I want to be a blessing to the King of Kings. Amen. Obey God. Leave the consequences for Him. And God will always come through for you. Amen. Would you close your eyes? Lord, we thank You tonight for Your word. Thank You for the simplicity and the complexity of just obedience to Your voice and Your word. God, You see the one that is struggling tonight. You see the one that has, God, this problem, Lord Jesus, that they have set back with obeying. And they see, Lord, all the different things that they have to do more than what they get to do. Let it be turned around that they can see the good consequences of just saying yes to You and no to sin. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. And we want to go to heaven how? Amen. Before you dismiss, stand. Amen. I want you to find three tonight to shake their hands. Amen. I want you to go.